phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Hardy is in for Rich today. 617-779-0985. Glenn Davis. You know him as the man who cried on the bench for the Celtics. He was staying at a hotel in Aberdeen, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
On February 7th, when the hotel owner picked up the oh-so-familiar scent of weed coming from Davis's room. Now, if I'm the... First of all, the hotel owner's hanging around the hotel. That must be quite the hotel.
Well, I believe it was a Hampton Inn.
Well, there's nothing wrong at Hampton Inns, but no. I just find it odd that the owner of the hotel is just walking around.
And the smell of weed, I don't know what the laws are like in Maryland, but I myself have noticed the smell of weed a lot more in the last year or so, just driving around in Boston and walking around, than I have before.
Are you bothering with someone if you smell weed in their room and you're the owner of the hotel?
No.
No, I'm not bothering with that.
No.
That's way more of a hassle than I need.
Plus, so, what are the chances that they're bothering anybody if they're just in their room smoking weed?
Like, if you got a complaint,
right?
You know, then you can go, all right, listen, guys, I got a complaint. Would you mind not smoking in here? And then if they give you crap, then I guess you could call the police. But that didn't happen. The guy's walking around. He knocks on the door. Davis told the owner to F off, which is not polite, and refused to open the door. So he called the police. The police said they had statement for probable cause, which, you know what? In Maryland, there's nothing else you have to do than to figure out if someone's smoking weed. There was an opportunity there where someone, they might have found someone smoking reefer. So they get in there. They say that Davis provided written consent to search his room. The police discovered a quarter pound of weed. Now, am I allowed a quarter pound of weed under the current? I know they won't sell you a quarter pound. I don't think they will at a dispensary. About $92,000 in cash. And a ledger that cops believe lists names and amounts of money owed by those people for said weed. Okay, so he has a quarter pound of weed. Say he had 3 pounds of weed, 4 pounds of weed. That cash isn't from selling weed. I mean, if they found like that guy from Chicago, if they found like 100 pounds of weed. I still don't know if that's $92,000.
But who's to say that's all he had? Maybe he started with 10 pounds.
Well, all they found was a quarter pound.
Well, yeah, he had sold the rest, and that's how he got the 93 grand.
But that's a huge leap. Is that a can I get it? If I get the right lawyer, the right prosecutor, can I make that case?
My gut tells me that he is not going to be in any real trouble over this because, no, how do you make the case that you got all this money from selling weed when you only had this much? Now, if he were still surrounded by a lot of it, you could maybe have an easier case to
make. Do people even still buy weed from dealers? And if yes. You do, how much, I know they do, but how much, because now it's all the oils, how much, prices have had to have gone dramatically down. I mean, getting a weed card is not the world's toughest process. They don't really delve into your medical history.
Isn't it expensive, though, when you buy it from a dispensary? Like more so than it would be from your friendly neighborhood pot dealer?
Well, you know what you're getting, though. Like, you know, you're supposed to know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So I think there's an inherent value to that.
But it is more expensive.
I don't know. It depends. I don't know. I've only bought weed off of someone one time, and it was in the Bahamas, and they gave me a bag full of literally leaves off a bush that were in front of the bar.
Stems and oregano.
Not even. Just literally leaves off a bush. Because it was dark and he handed it to me and I got it and I'm like, okay. And then because I was paranoid, I'd never bought weed before. I haven't since. And I looked in the bag and I'm like, okay, well, I've been taken.
Well, how do you get your weed then?
I don't smoke really.
Well, didn't you keep a bag in your freezer for a while until your mother-in-law threw it away? Where'd you get that?
I didn't buy it.
It was given to you?
I don't
Maybe one of the kids go out to get it?
No, they were far too young. They're far too young. Yeah, we had an eighth in the freezer.
Are you telling me that you had a bag of weed in your freezer and you don't remember how you got it?
I swear on a stack of Bibles that we had an eighth of weed in my freezer.
That part I believe, but you don't remember how it got there?
No, we had it. Someone got it for us. I don't know how it happened. I don't know who we got it from.
It was just given to
or
you.
Bought it. Maybe. I don't know. Right. What do I care? We bought it. I don't know. I don't remember.
Wallach, if you had weed in your freezer, would you know how it got there?
Yes.
All right. That's all. All right. All continue. Right.
Let's. Okay. So, Mike, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I don't know. Anywhere on the street, really, a quarter pound will go anywhere from around $1,000, $800, $1,000.
Okay. So, if I break that up, what am I breaking that up into? A quarter pound.
I mean, I know my metric, Fred. That's 4 ounces. Maybe we'll go for about $200 a piece.
All right. So, if I have that amount, and then I have 90, how much weed would I need? And I can't do the math in my head to make $92,000.
Probably, I don't know. Probably your weight in weed. Probably.
Okay. Mm. So you're saying 195 pounds, hopefully on a good day, in weed. So yeah. All right. Now, have prices gone down or have they gone up since it became legal?
Well, the thing is, in the dispensary, it's very, very expensive. So you've got all your oils and your edibles and stuff, but there are a lot of streets still around that where they just come down on price, and they still will exist because the prices are just going to go up and up and up in the dispensary.
All right, but are drug dealers that are street dealers losing money on as the price of street weed gone down, or has it gone up?
No, they're not losing money. They're just not making as much.
Yeah, so the price has gone down. All right, thank you. Like I said, so if I'm Glenn Davis, is this something I really want to get into at this point? Do I want to be selling paltry amounts of weed?
Well, what else is he qualified to do?
Maybe sell something that with some value, like cocaine or opiates.
But if you're
something everyone's doing,
you're starting small, Fred. This is the first step.
If you're feeble-minded enough to say, I don't know, start crying when Kevin Garnett yells at you in a basketball game, right? And you do have some money. How easy would it be to be talked into? Hey, you make a $100,000 investment. You get all this weed, and then you start selling it to people, and people will pay more because it's from you, and blah, blah, blah. I could absolutely see somebody like Glenn Davis.
It's like selling typewriters.
Getting suckered into this, and yes, like becoming a celebrity weed dealer. Yeah. I could see that happening.
All right. Well, he responded to the charges by being on the world's smallest private plane. Which you guys pointed out to me, it's like he can't really even sit up.
It's not even like a 5-seater. It's a 2-seater with the seats backed up to the pilot.
like it's nice. It's like got nice wood and stuff.
He has
in
to
it.
Bend over to the side to fit in the plane.
I know. It seems like a total nightmare. I mean, it seems like I would lose my mind.
And
in
you
5 seconds
know what? I'm still
that.
Not convinced that that plane actually went anywhere. I think that's taken while he's on the tarmac with the camera shaking back and forth intentionally.
Well, he's not concerned about his diet too much because he has about 17 boxes of Popeyes. And then he has a big suitcase full of some of those stacks got tens in them, though.
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah, some of those stacks got tens on top.
Yeah, the most expensive thing of those stacks is the ring on top of them.
Right. And who knows if that's even the real one.
This could be.
Because it didn't look like that great a ring. I'm wondering if that's the real one. So anyway, here is the audio of his response to the charges. He's on a private plane. He's got a big suitcase full of little hay, scratch, dinero, buckaroonies. He really looks really uncomfortable. Can you imagine being on a plane where you couldn't sit straight?
Well, it's because he's not on a private jet. He's on a private Cessna.
I would lose a
nice little interior job.
Lose my mind. If I'm in a car where I can't really get my head up, I lose my mind.
No, you would rather be on a Southwest flight than on that plane that he's on right now.
Yeah. Well, here is Glenn Davis. He's eating Popeye's chicken surrounded by money. And here we go. All right, they're in the air, dude.
All right, I hadn't heard the volume.
They might be just flying to Providence or something.
Could it be possible just that the engine is on?
But I'm going to guess.
You can add that sound effect in post production.
Damn straight you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Hardy.
Industrial lights and magic on this.
This is for a big baby, man. Don't believe all that on the internet. I will have my day in court. They just mad because a black man got money, man. Trying to keep a black man down, man. Hey, man, shout out Rollo, man. All them people, man, getting money, man. My shit is legal, man. A lot of jump shots. A whole lot of jump shots. Popeye chicken.
Okay. He's a guy who can take a drumstick and put the whole thing in his mouth and have it come out where it's just a bone.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
But listen, to Wallach's point about not sure if he's in the air, I have a white noise app on my phone. I've had it on there for years for when I travel. Just play something in the background. Check it out. It's Hardy, man. I'm sitting on my private jet eating all this food, and I have so much money. Oh, my goodness.
Popeye's chicken.
That's all it takes, Fred.
Yeah, he's not in the air. He's sitting at the tarmac. He's sitting on the tarmac with the camera shaking back and forth. You think Big Baby can afford to fly a set? Can afford the gas to fly a Cessna anywhere?
Do I think that he should, and it's financially a good idea, and that he could do it quite often?
He did that. It's 5 minutes around the airport. They land. He's out of money.
Do you think Glenn Davis, if this is his profession, having a quarter pound of weed and carrying around that much cash, do you think that he's going to go, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't spring for the private plane.
I'm going to need that for lawyers at some point.
Just by the way, I will entertain Wallach's theory to the day I die. I actually think he's in the air. I think he's on the plane. Yes,
no. Because stay with me on
this, private
Hardy.
Jet ain't what it used to be. The private jet is not like so much of a thing so much that Davis can't charter one, especially a one-seater like the one that he's on. There's like room for him and the pilot.
Okay.
And that's it.
All right.
But
he got the junior knockoff version of the private plane.
Can you focus in on the jump shots and how many jump shots that he made?
Sure, right.
Can you find that stat? Because he says, like, I made this
really
money
have for to
making
that up.
All these jump shots. I want to know how many jump shots he actually made.
I can give you advanced metrics, but does it really matter?
Because, and then we have to, like, qualify what is a jump shot, because he could not jump. That was part of his issue in the NBA.
That was a problem. He could get away with it at LSU, but that's why he was a second-round pick. Very underrated.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Dutcher and Rich. Now, there is news coming from the Bruins camp. Johnny Wall game.
Yes, sir.
The Bruins, who have been nothing short of excellent. The Bruins that have the city on their toes, waiting to see what happens. But now I'm hearing that the people don't want the Bruins to overtake Tampa Bay, because then they might have to play the Capitals.
4 points out with 2 games in hand entering tonight.
So, but people now, I'm hearing that they don't want them to win the division, because then they would have to play the old thorn in their side at some point.
Well, I mean, look at the numbers. They never do well against Washington.
Right.
Specifically Braden Holtby. They never do well against the Braden Holtby in the Washington Capitals. So, okay, that's one thing. And personally, if you can overtake the Capitals while resting everybody, if you can overtake Tampa while resting everyone, God bless. They were missing 5 players and shut them out over the weekend.
By the way, Washington, there's no guarantee that they're going to, I mean, they're first place in the Metropolitan right now. But if you had your druthers, would you play Tampa? Would you rather play Toronto or Washington?
We have in the first round?
Yeah.
Toronto.
Would you rather play Washington or Tampa Bay?
Tampa in the first round. In the second round, you have to play through your division
beforehand.
So you're not going to play Washington in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know why I just said that. That was stupid. But there are people that are upset about this. Now, there is a new player.
Yep.
And this is a draft. You'd be interested to know how these drafts go down. But Ryan Donato.
Ryan Donato, 26 goals in 29 games, I want to say, this year for Harvard. His team just got eliminated from the ECAC tournament, so he's now available to sign. And I'm curious as to why the Bruins did this. It's not a 3-year entry-level contract. It's only 2 years, the first year of which is going to be burned starting tonight.
Right.
It's going to be in uniform for the Bruins tonight. This is unprecedented. I don't remember the Bruins making a deal like this with too many other college players. I mean,
McAvoy.
That was a three-year deal.
Yeah.
This is a 2-year deal, which springs Donato after next season if he wants to go somewhere else. I mean, it seems to me like the player has all the power here.
Yes.
You play 14 months for a team and then you're gone, and you're going to make a lot of money if you light it up. So why did the Bruins agree to this?
How long is he restricted for? Is he restricted after the second year?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, you are restricted.
I want to say yes, but still, it's a significant bump in pay.
No, I understand.
So why give the player the hammer like this? And the only thing I can think of is Donato told him, or Donato's camp told him, look, if you don't sign me now, I'll go and play for Harvard. This is the end of his junior year. I'll go and play for Harvard again next year.
And then you won't.
But then
have
I'll pull a Jimmy Vesey on you, and I'm going to go sign with somebody else.
Right.
For big money.
And as Vesey hasn't been exactly lighting it up.
He hasn't. He hasn't. Vesey scored, I think, 56 goals in his last 70 games. And Donato has, what, 60 goals in 97 games? Something like that in the 3 years.
All right. So Donato is going to suit up for tonight.
Yes.
And you were talking
about... Plenty of room, by the way, up front for him to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the draft. Now, this is... This Chiarelli's last draft...
2014, and I got the Boston Globe was the one who spotlighted this, so let's give them credit. The 2014 draft, and of course, Chiarelli didn't draft well. We can all agree on this. And, you know, how many Peter Solariks and Linus Arnesons and Wiley Shermans are there in this draft? I mean, there are just a lot of guys that really didn't go anywhere.
Or Karan.
Yeah. So the 2014 draft, the final draft of Peter Chiarelli's tenure, because I think he got fired in April of 2015. And then Sweeney's first draft was 15, Zboril, DeBrusque, Sinishin, Brandon Carlo. DeBrusque and Carlo are good so far, and who knows about Zboril and Sinishin. But the 2014 draft, you have to give Peter Chiarelli credit. David Pastrnak in the first round, Ryan Donato in the second round, Danton Heinen in the fourth round, Anders Bjork in the fifth round.
Yeah,
we don't know about
draft.
Bjork yet, but it seems like he's going to be good when he gets healthy.
Right. So, yeah, it's a huge draft.
So Chiarelli gave you something. Four big hits for Chiarelli in the final draft.
So, and by the way, players who never would have played if Claude Julien remained coach.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah, they're guys that just would have been like, hey.
That's right.
They're lighting it up in the AHL. Well, not so fast.
Yep.
So you can give Chiarelli a tip of the cap, even though things in Edmonton are running beautifully.
Well, I mean, at least he's holding his track record complete. This is what Chiarelli does. He signs a lot of guys to large money, and they massively underachieve, or they were over the hill, and people like, why would you give Milan Lucic all that money? And sure enough, Milan Lucic, as he's getting on in years, is having a horrible season this year.
Did you see the thing in the Boston Globe yesterday that had the players vote on, you know, several categories?
Yes.
Boy, they love
Sidney Crosby. Love Sidney Crosby.
And so for all of us as fans, and it's funny because his whole career I've heard the same thing. It's like every analyst, every player, they all talk about his toughness and and that, you know, because people like, you know, Sidney Crosby's a puss and for all his toughness, but everyone describes him as tough.
Most difficult player to play against, Crosby's number one.
Basically all it's McDavid and Crosby.
Players to start a franchise with, it's McDavid and then Crosby. I mean, Crosby, player you'd like to start a team with, Crosby's number one.
Jeffy and I talked about this last week. I don't know what got us on the discussion of, like, if the NHL is missing, you know, a player right now that gets recognized outside of the sport. And I said, of course they are, other than Sidney Crosby. He's the one guy. Ovechkin doesn't transcend. Nobody else really transcends the sport or other teams more than Sidney Crosby right now. And I said something like, he's such a weasel. But Jaffe was quick to defend him, too. And I understand he's a great player. But when you think about it, he does. There's a toughness to his game. He'll get down into the corners. He'll go into the dirty areas. He's not afraid of pulling some dirty stuff. And he can handle himself. Not that Crosby ever has to fight or anybody has to fight anymore.
Right.
But he's not opposed to that, which does make him, I guess as far as players are concerned, a likable guy and a guy that they would be okay with playing with.
Yeah, best they role respect
model.
Him.
Best role model. Yeah. Number one, Sidney Crosby.
Well, Bergeron's one of the three, right?
Yes, it goes Crosby, Taves is second, and Bergeron's third.
That's the only person that the only athlete that I tell my son to look at is Patrice Bergeron, the way he handles himself. And I say, don't do that. Be more, if you're not going to get any endorsements that way. So you got to be flamboyant.
Maybe a fist pump after you score or something.
Well, he'll block shots and he'll do the Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, okay.
You go.
Oh,
but because he plays the game. He plays 2K18.
Excuse me, that's Under Armour on line two. Like to speak to you about a shoe contract. For
that's right.
Yeah.
He does that. He does that and then he'll run down the court and put one over the backboard. So, I mean, let's not complete.
Make it rain coast to coast.
Right. Well, what movie was that?
I just know it's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of the better making basketball montages ever. Rain Man, making it rain.
Right. Over the backboard.
Big All-Star game on Saturday.
Oh, ooh, that's right.
What league? I've heard you talk about this.
I used to coach in this league, too.
Yes. And I welcome this. As if this is going to be the new recurring topic that gets brought, I welcome it over the JCC pool, which ran its course.
Oh, yeah.
That was we're done with that.
But if youth basketball
coaching is the new, you know, perpetual bit that we're going to be brought up.
We start baseball tomorrow. So first practice of the year is tomorrow.
Just in time for snow.
No. It's indoors, baby.
Oh,
come
okay.
On.
All right.
You got to rent some space.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The JCC pool has run its course, and if my contract was up in June,
mm-hmm.
I would either be leaving town or not belonging to the JCC pool because I would belong somewhere else. But this is going to be the final year of the JCC pool.
Mm. Is it, huh?
Because I have no intention of signing a contract before the summer.
Say goodbye to the foosball table.
We have a foosball table, and he won't play it. And you really can't play ping pong outside because there's too much wind.
That's right. You got to factor that in. That's tough.
So I think it's one more year of the JCC pool.
My daughter asked if we could get an air hockey table, and I said, you have an air hockey table. I swear to God.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She has to, no, like, you know, like a big one. I'm like, you start playing with the small one, and then we'll get the full-blown Dave and Buster's air hockey table. Don't you worry about it. But spend more than a minute and a half playing with the one that we already own.
Yeah, he played that foosball. My daughter didn't really play it, but he played that foosball like nobody's business. And for his birthday, we got him a real foosball table, and they're not cheap. And he's probably played an hour on it in 2 years.
Is it tough for someone his size, though? Like, if it's a full-blown foosball table, isn't that more
he's
geared?
He's 5 feet tall.
Yeah, but just for the reach and the...
He's 5 feet tall with big spindly arms that go past his knees. He can exist on that thing.
Okay.
He's a toucher. You know, there was a time, if you go to my...
That explains it all. Say no more. He's a toucher. Got it.
If you go to my Instagram and you go at Fred Toucher on my Instagram, sign up. Why not? Take it for a spin. I have videos of, yeah, you get, like you're not already. Come on. Come on, Hardy. Let's stop playing games.
I don't think I've ever looked at your Instagram.
Oh, well.
Lie detector. All right, Fonzie. You're the one.
I've not seen it either, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So,
what are we looking for?
All right. There's one of me pitching in high school. Do you like the Kenny Little James Stewart? Nick made that.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. What am I looking for?
There's one of me pitching in high school, and then there's one of me skateboarding when I was a kid, and you will not believe how tall and skinny I am. It's gross. Gross. You're going to have to go a little deeper.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of Andy Wong in there. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a little Paisley Park for you. There's a little bit of the puppy.
What picture did you take at Paisley Park?
There's me pitching, if you want to click on that. Well, you look at that while we're in break. But everyone get on
there. Whoa! I can't believe that's you. And you know what's most telling about this, friend? That I think this is not you? You're moving with some degree of, like, speed and agility. And pretty much ever since I've known you, you just kind of heel-toe it everywhere. You're a real careful mover. But this guy is just reckless abandon. Look at this kid hopping off the rubber, walking to the back of the mound. He doesn't have a care in the world.
I'm a very careful walker.
You're very careful. You walk like an old person on ice all the time.
Well, you're
just
glad.
Down the hallway.
I got a standing ovation yesterday from four people.
For what?
Oh, this is true. I went to Buffs and it's only cash, so I had to go to the ATM next to it.
Uh-huh.
Came out of the ATM, patch of ice right there. Right foot slipped out from under me, started falling.
Yep.
Falling forward. Boom, boom, boom. Leaned down, almost touched the ground, kept my balance. Round of applause for the kid.
How much you get out of the ATM?
200 smackaroos. I'll take the fast cash and let me go lower right.
I'll tell you, he was sick with wings.
Good for you. Receipt?
Yeah, I got $200.
Receipt? Print only? Email? Or no receipt?
No receipt. I know it's
my man. You can't go over there. My man, Freddie T.
I know it's in there, baby.
Yep.
All right.
I have an answer, by the way.
It's got three zeros behind it. There's my dad smoking while he coached baseball.
That's great.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Okay, 98.5 the sport. No, bro. 98.5 the sports hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and Troy wants to give me. I cuts out my headphones when you do that.
I thought you ran the board. What was going on?
I don't control that. That's the one thing they don't give me control of.
Oh, your own microphone.
Yeah, Troy is called 1,167 times. Hello, Troy.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
So the problem with Little League Baseball is the guy standing behind you with those poom-pooms and no shirt on. I got to go.
Oh, yeah. He's talking about the on my Instagram. There's a guy. They're giving awards away from Little League, and my father's smoking, and there's a guy with no shirt on in ball huggers. By the way, Ryan Donato, there is an explanation why he did the two-year.
Yes, there is an explanation. I've got it from many people. Ryan Johnston, he's part-time. He works on
weekends. I know who Ryan Johnston is.
I just wanted to make sure. The length of Donato's contract is based on his age. He's 22 years old. His birthday is soon. Three-year entry levels for 21 and younger. Two-year deals for 22, 23-year-olds. One-year entry-level deal for a 24-year-old.
I love him on the Bruins broadcast. Now, let's go back to the screen.
Oh, before we get to the stack, yes, updated standings here for a Twitter poll for the which TNR personality is the everyman.
Now, it's tight. It's tight there, Hardy.
Freddie T is pulled into the lead.
Tight race here. NBC Sports Boston Twitter poll. In last place, Rich Shurtenlieve, 20% of the vote. Third place, Bird, 24% of the vote. John Wallach, who had the early lead, has now dropped down to 27%. 29%. Of the people voting, think Fred Toucher is the everyman, everyman of the morning show.
Would you agree with? Hardy agrees with wholeheartedly.
Hey.
Anyhow,
working hard or Hardy working?
Oh boy, you've heard them all. All right, what's going on? By the way, I just want to know because I'm bored, too bored to read the article, but it sounds like a nice headline. Stephen Hawking predicted the end of the universe 2 weeks before his death, so we got that going for us.
Is it before or after my tax appointment?
You've given that joke off the air.
I know. It was good enough. I wanted to.
It's so nice you did it twice.
Recycle it.
I wish I could tag it for you, but I got nothing. It's a perfect joke as it
is. Hashtag file for an extension. Hey!
Hashtag Uncle Sam's done gone bananas.
Rajon Rondo has said that he's moved on from his relationships from the Big Three a few years ago, especially his relationship with Ray Allen. So when Ray Allen talks a bunch of crap about him in his new book, he says, water off a duck's back. Doesn't bother me at all. So first of all, Ray Allen has a book, which I did not know about.
Yeah, he's doing a reading at the Tabernacle, all of us in Atlanta. He's doing a reading at the Wilbur with the pre-approved questions. And I'm working with the people at the Wilbur to effort to get him into studio.
Ray Allen. Wow. Okay, that'd be good.
Would you pay to see Ray Allen read from his book and take pre-approved questions?
No, but I would. I've paid to go to book readings before.
Oh, sure,
readings,
but from someone interesting. Now,
but for me, I'm not a huge Ray Allen fan.
No, but that's why he needs to come into this station, to this show.
Yes, absolutely.
And then make himself interesting and give you incentive to go there.
I would like to hear him talk though, because I would like to hear him, you know, talk about going to Miami and stuff like that, which I think he gets way too easy a pass for.
Well, then you can read
Celtics
the book.
Fans. All right. Well, he talks about Rondo in the book. And there are a couple of specific mentions. And Rondo says he just wants attention. He needs the publicity. And so be it. He said that Rondo would have been traded to a team, but Doc Rivers wouldn't do it because he had too good a relationship with the head coach, and he didn't want to put that on his friend, the coach.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So Rondo was such a problem that Doc Rivers felt guilty. Well, if you're a Celtics owner, you got to feel good about that.
Told you, Rondo had to meet with Doc Rivers every single day.
But if I'm Wick Grosbeck and I hear that there could have been a move made, but Doc Rivers felt bad for one of his friends who happened to be a coach for a team we could do a deal with, I'm firing him immediately. Like your allegiance is to me.
Yeah.
Your allegiance is not to your friend.
Rondo, I'm reading from a Globe article here. It says, Rondo's difficult relationship with Allen resurfaced when he was asked to plan a reunion vacation trip for the 2008 title team.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Rondo, Glenn Davis was going to be there.
Great Wolf Lodge.
Put Big Baby on the water slide.
Yeah. Come on now. Let's have some fun.
Rondo said he asked his teammates if they wanted Allen to attend, and many of them said they didn't.
Well, that's not right. He was part of everything. That's not nice.
So that's Ray Allen's new book, which good inside stuff there from Freddie T. Coming to the Wilbur to do a book reading, huh?
He is. Yeah, I don't know why, but if he wants to get asses in seats, he comes on this show.
Yes. Meanwhile, Joe Montana is in favor of legalization of marijuana as the NFL and NFLPA move toward potentially removing cannabis as a banned substance.
He's the one. Such a wild opinion nowadays.
So Montana was one of eight former players interviewed by Playboy magazine on the topic.
Oh,
there's
boy.
Interviews in Playboy? I'd never know.
I come from the knockers and stay for the butts. They got ladies with curves in all the right places.
He said,
a couple of bazookas on the chest and a nice fanny. Ain't too bad either.
What are you doing in that? That country kitchen. What are you making? What are you making, a pie?
What are you, a pie?
Legalization is picking up steam.
Why are you riding that horse?
On a global level, and I feel like now is the time to spread information about the curing capabilities of this plant. That's what Joe Montana
It makes me
says.
Too paranoid.
The
smoke.
Marijuana?
Yeah.
The last time I did, it was when it was like changing over. I mean, it was a long time ago. But it was when, you know, like the stuff that I had in college was like nothing.
Well, the stuff in college was like rat weed, which I actually enjoyed because it made you sleepy and hungry.
Right. But out of college a few years later when I was living out in Vegas and like the stuff was coming in from like Vancouver, that was supposed to be like the good stuff.
Yeah, and you had like mad scientists making these strains and all of a sudden weed was purple.
I had like a near death experience from smoking pot. I'm like, this isn't fun.
No,
this isn't for me.
It basically became acid.
Yeah.
A lot of these strains.
It was crazy. If Rich were here, he'd probably do a box office segment. So we'll do that right now. Black Panther, once again, number one at the box office, fifth weekend, $27 million. It seems to me that's like that's a good number for a fifth weekend at the box office. $600 million.
It's up against Game Night, which I want to see because it's got Winnie the Bish from New Girl on it.
Are you serious?
I am. All right. If you were on New Girl and if you were a male on New Girl, one of the big three, I'll see you in a film.
Here's one that doesn't surprise me. Tomb Raider, the reboot of Tomb Raider, which cost $90 million to make, did $23.5 million over the weekend.
Do you know there was a commercial Free Family Guy on last night?
Yes.
And it was all Stewie in a psychiatrist's office. And it turns out Stewie's voice is not his real voice. It's an affectation that he puts on. But at the end, he decides to go back to it. But there's a good 5 minutes of the show where Stewie is talking in his normal voice.
A movie called I Can Only Imagine came in third. I've never heard of that.
I Can Only Imagine get out of this studio and get myself a hot dog.
Wrinkle in Time came in fourth. My daughter went to see it and she cried.
All right. Well, she's got to get her emotions together. We will return. We'll have in studio, hopefully, Scott Zolak. He can be angry that Hardy did the morning show. And then we are one day away from me not being here for a while. And that is a favorite to everyone.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Again, Zolak is here, but not in studio for the crossover.
I just saw him in the hallway. I think he's out there talking with old friend. Here he comes.
Here he comes. Scotty's like,
he's all strutting.
Strutting his stuff.
What's up?
You going on vacation here before the spring book?
Saving up the days for July, baby.
Then you go to the Cape.
Got 17 or 18 to burn from the end of from the end of June till football starts.
I have.
Why would you take off now?
Yeah.
Wait, 17 or 18 to burn from the end of June until football starts. You're taking no days off over the holidays at the end of the year?
No, mine resets at August.
Oh.
I have 18 left after this week.
So you only took 3 days off over the holidays?
Well, you had the one comp day, and then, the way it was staggered, the two free ones.
I'm going to go back and check that.
You could do that if you want.
I will.
Okay.
Jim Louth will know. I'll just ask Jim. He probably has it committed to memory.
Just waiting for the schedule to come out, too.
NFL schedule.
That's the most exciting day of spring for me.
Yeah.
Football schedule.
You don't like the hockey and basketball?
Oh, I do.
Have you been watching March Madness?
It's kind of a spring summer. I got into UMBC.
I did watch that game.
I love rooting for the underdog.
You know what Zoe watched this weekend and last weekend?
What, you know me. How many years you've been working with me?
Almost nine.
When have I ever committed that I watched 2 hours of plus golf and didn't move from my seat?
Can't really remember.
I haven't since this guy was irrelevant. Now he's relevant again. And I love how CBS has changed all their promos and commercials, advertising for the Masters.
Can you watch?
Guy in it.
Can you watch golf sober?
Yeah, I did yesterday.
So you can sit there for 2 hours.
I'm down there cheering and rooting. The kids are coming down. What's going on downstairs? I'm like, he's in it. He's actually going for it here. Then he cut it to one, and I'm like, this isn't going to happen.
So you're
one of these Euros has got to blow up, you know?
So you sat there without nary an alcoholic beverage
and
watched 2 hours of golf.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, and I knew that.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, because I tried calling him. Like, are you watching this?
And I knew that, and I'm sorry I didn't pick up, but I was watching Michigan State at the time, and I didn't want to know what was going on.
Didn't watch them.
Because I was afraid if I answered the phone, you were going to say, can you believe he's in the lead? And I didn't want to know.
That's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
No, listen, I don't know who wasn't excited about the big golf event yesterday. Rory McIlroy.
Nobody cares about him.
Well, ask Hardy.
He chirped on a thing. But really, go ahead, Hardy. Tell him how many people care.
No, the only thing I said about Rory is that the way he played yesterday, that's how everybody wants Tiger to play.
He had the best golf outfit on, I'll tell you that. He looked good.
Rory was outstanding down the stretch, but people were watching for Tiger. That's why people were watching that yesterday.
Right. Of course. Then once Tiger went OB and then it was like over and he screwed up, you're like, I turned it off. I didn't even watch the finish.
Not a drop of alcohol to be found in the whole house.
No, not yesterday.
And sat there.
Saturday, different, yeah.
Sat there and watched that whole dang thing.
Saturday was me Irish, me drinking me Irish.
Leprechaun pirate
voice. And then Saturday night, scared the hell out of the kid again. Leprechaun was on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh boy!
Is that you and me, Leprechaun downstairs? Let me out of the box.
So you showed it to Brody?
He's like, "What is this?" I'm like, it's the Leprechaun, and he's under your bed. Yeah, that night went well.
How old is he?
He's 8.
Yeah,
5 foot, 100. Well,
Jesus. God. What are you going to be? Tight end, you're thinking?
Anything he wants to be.
Offensive lineman.
He can be anything in football he wants to be.
he's going to be tackle.
My buddy Todd Rucci, who I play with, he's got a kid that just committed to Wisconsin. He's only a junior. He's like a 6'5" tight end. His younger brother, who's in ninth grade, is 6'8", and he plays tackle. And I just watched his huddle. He's going to be recruited by everybody. And they nickname him Yeti. I call him Sasquatch. He goes, no, the name is Yeti, and he's offended that you called him Sasquatch.
But he'll go to Wisconsin. Wisconsin knows for its offensive line.
He's going to go Penn State. He'll go to Penn State. He'll be a keeper.
Why does he want to go to Penn State over Wisconsin?
His dad played at Penn State.
Okay.
The other kid wanted to go to Penn State. Penn State didn't offer.
My wife got into Penn State, which tells you all you need to know.
That's where you want to go. You play ball in Pennsylvania. That's where you're going.
So. But I would rather go to Wisconsin. It's more fun.
No.
Better education.
You'd be the network at Penn State, man, alumni, and the jobs that they have. It's pretty good.
I don't doubt it. It's a huge school. It's in the middle of nowhere. It kind of sucks there.
Once you're there, you're there. It's like it's a city.
Yeah, that's all there is, though.
Yeah,
State College. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally in the center of the state, and there's nothing for hundreds of miles.
You have the greatest. Never mind.
What?
You're going to see the greatest coach in history.
No. There's tradition. I mean, I love the uniforms. They don't put the names on them. Black shoes. One stripe down the helmet, that's it. Alabama, Penn State, the two best uniforms.
All right, so what do you got going today?
little reentry day for Mr. Vegas Boy. He's back.
Now, did he take the red eye last night?
Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Okay.
So he's somewhat refreshed, but no blemishes or scars on the face. He looks good.
Okay.
Usually somebody falls out there and with their hands in their pockets.
Did he hook up with Lifshatz over at the Hooters Hotel and Casino?
So. We'll let him tell the stories. All right, good. They'll save
is that Lifshatz the...
Lifshatz. He was out there on a business trip.
Shatz.
It's crazy. It's like, yeah, I'm out here, Dan. Anybody wants... You know, I told you about Al Horford. I put 5 bets down on him.
Who's the degenerate gambler?
Lifshatz. Damn, Lifshatz.
No, and Joe Murray.
Yeah, Joe Murray.
Murray gives Lifshatz a run for his money.
If you listen to Joe Murray, he's just like, he'll go... Oh, yeah, you know, I had it's some random game, and I'm like, that was in minus 10. And he's like, he's upset about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets all excited just talking about it.
Yeah. Everything he has to throw the line in. You guys enjoy yourselves.
It's going to be good. We're going to get into everything today. A little bit of everything, starting with some NFL and Patriots stuff.
All right. We have Hardy tomorrow.
Oh, when's Richie back from his 4-week
Thursday.
Vacation? That's good.
He's back Thursday.
That's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you count the hour that he blew off,
it's actually 2 hours, 2 weeks.
I'm remembering
that.
When I put it for an X, I'm remembering that. Just check out 75% of the last day you're in. Jim, you think you'll check it out like getaway day? It's like 75% getaway.
See, I'll give you a break. Like, you get one break.
There's no break. There's other flights to go out the next day.
No, I know, but if,
so you're like, I'm cutting him a break. He went to Texas.
If you left at 9:50, who cares?
A segment, he means.
Yeah, a segment. I mean, a segment. In radio parlance, break.
Right. Right. I agree with that. Okay. Like, in Faith, you got to bug out the last 10. We've done that with
obviously. Yeah.
I mean, a whole hour.
It happens.
An hour is an hour.
All right.
An hour is an hour.
You guys...
Especially when Machine...
Machine.
He's the one that won him in. He had this big thing ready to go.
All right,
hello, Fred. Hello.
Tomorrow we will get to the game finally that Hardy put up with. We have Hardy's made a new album that we will get to as well. Billy, Jack,
I didn't make the album. I just can't.
Another show, huh?
I found it leaked. Napster.
A lot of stuff for the other show, Billy.
Yeah.
A lot
of work. When you get in here, you got to come correct. You got to have the production. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves. Who's doing the headline? Sarge?
No, Tim McCone.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, that'll do it for us. Bye.